Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small business. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Gerdy of Matty G Digital.
And before we get started, head over to kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca/checklist and download Matt and Brian's marketing checklist for Kawartha small businesses. All right, Matt. Today we are talking about grant myths, which is going to be a fun take on sort of one of my areas of expertise, which is government grants. And typically when I work with anyone on grants, the first thing I'm doing is just busting a bunch of myths. So I thought we would do a whole episode on that.
I was sweating because I know somewhere on our list we've got, I think it's like strategic marketing or something. And I was like, I prepared nothing as per usual. And I was like, I probably have to talk a lot today. And as soon as I opened the link, I saw grant myths. I was like, sweet. This is all Brian. I'm just going to sit back, relax. I don't know anything about grants. I don't know anything whatsoever about what we're about to talk about. So I'll let you take the wheel.
Awesome. So maybe tell me, what are some of the things you think about grants? And I will tell you if it's a myth or not.
I'm going to make an assumption about a myth that I am sure you maybe hear or probably heard, that there are an infinite amount of grants out there and the government is just giving away money for free that you don't have to pay back.
True. Yeah, that's a great one to start on because it's what the government wants you to think. It's not entirely false, but at the same time, it's not what people think it is. So you hear it all the time. People are like, oh, there's just all sorts of grants for small businesses. They're just throwing money out there. Just go get one of those grants. But when you start looking, they don't really exist in the same way. There's also a lot of money that is technically a grant that is really just government funding. They'll like fund certain types of not-for-profits or agencies. It's officially a grant, so it makes the number in terms of the dollars in grants that like go out seem huge. So for example, I think technically like funding a hospital is a grant. So because that's going to a different entity. So if you add in like everything, it's billions of dollars. When we're talking about grants for businesses, that number is a lot smaller. And they're not really out there sort of making it rain, just throwing around money with no strings attached to it.
Well, the conservative government loves just throwing out money, making it rain without strings attached, but that's a different conversation.
It's true. They all do. It's just their marketing is different around it. So that's another fun myth that I didn't really have on my list, but sort of the myth of sort of partisanship. What I think there is people will get certain impressions of like, oh, you know, this type of government doesn't like grants and this one does. But at the end of the day, most of the programs are pretty nonpartisan. They're happening anyway. They might adjust certain aspects or they'll review certain programs. I personally don't think there's a lot of partisanship if you look at everything. If you want to cherry pick data, we can like do that all day long. But for the most part, a lot of it doesn't really have to do with the government that's in power. You also don't have a better chance if you're a donor to that party that's in power. Again, you can cherry pick some pretty cool information, but I know, you know, a few years back, I did a lot of freedom of information requests and tried to see if I could see a correlation between, you know, where money was going and who the member of parliament was or member of provincial parliament. And there wasn't really any strong evidence there that made any difference at all.
That's interesting. I guess I do have some experience with grants, one of which I received and one of which I worked with a couple people to get. the one grant that I got was through, I forget the exact name of the organization now, Kawartha Small Business Economic Development Innovation.
Entrepreneurship Centers. They sometimes change the acronym, but they're a network across the province of entrepreneurship centers.
Yes, yes, yes.
And they are a great example of a sort of type of grant that's available.
Yeah.
Which is they are provincially funded to help small businesses open. Sometimes, you know, they don't just have blank checks and start handing them out either. They would have more of their funding would be the programs they deliver.
Right.
So, you know, if you can show up in the basement of the library and learn about cash flow, like that's a grant, right? Technically, you might not feel like that's a grant, but that's the government's paying for you to get that knowledge through a grant. So that's a,
yeah,
you know, it's a small one. They might give you, and you probably got, you know, some money with some strings attached for, like, in theory, what it could be used for.
Right.
And also some eligibility of sort of activities you have to do to get that.
Yeah. So I was awarded a grant through the Starter Company Plus, and I helped with mentorship for, it was like a summer student program. And both of those grants were, like you said, they are programs. I don't know how long the summer students spent on that grant, but I know they had to be in class like four times over the course of a month. It was like every Tuesday or something, and we went there. And I'm sure they had to do other stuff. I wasn't super in tune with what was going on. Maybe did that twice. Anyways, and then Starter Company Plus, shoot, I spent a lot of time doing that. It was 4 6-to-8-hour days, plus then you had to put together a business plan, which was probably another full day. And then you had to do like follow-up meetings with them. I think there was like 2 to 4 of them, like round tables, they called them. Like you probably spent close to 20 hours on it. It was a substantial amount of money. Like it was $5,000, but it was, at the time, made a lot of sense. I've re-looked at those numbers again now from where I am, like business-wise. It probably doesn't make sense for me to go. It's a lot of hours dedicated to it, which is not, again, not a problem, but someone that's, quote, more established, it's a lot of money, yeah, but it's not what I would want to be like billing someone if I was working with an account or something like that. And definitely, like you said, there's a lot of follow-up with receipts and stuff like that. But I was frankly had so much income coming in and expenses going out that you could have easily buried that money. Like, I'm not like saying anything terribly inappropriate, but like I used the money where I used it. It was all towards the business, but there's so much money coming in and coming out. Like they couldn't tell where that money, that $5,000 ended up going to. It would have taken like, I'm being a bit silly, but like a forensic accountant to figure out like what exactly did you spend that money on. It might be different if you were a brand new hobby company or a startup and you have like before revenue or no revenue or whatever. That's a different story. That would have been very easy to figure out where that money is going to. But it was, you spend a lot of time on these grants. It's not just you go online and you submit a form and then the government's going to throw money at you. It's a lot of time, and I'm sure you want to jump in, but I got one more example of, I was helping people with the Digital Main Street grant, where I think I did it for free for a couple people that I worked with because I want to continue to work with them and then eventually take that money that the government was about to give them. But that process was a lot of time too. It was like an 8-to-10-hour course. And I thought way too much information to small business owners that weren't familiar with marketing or marketing platforms and all these programs. I thought it was like a crazy amount of time. That's ultimately why a lot of the business owners didn't want to do the program or go through it themselves or do the grant. And it's why I hear this from a lot of other business owners, and you'll tell me if this is true or not, where it's a lot of time they don't want to spend time on it. They just want someone to kind of swoop in and give them the money and go through the programming. So
yeah, I think it's almost another conversation to talk about sort of the merits of some of these programs. Because I think too, what's also cool about this in terms of myths is you'll hear things like, oh, there's all this free money. But to be honest, like $2,500 or $5,000 is really nothing. Like, it's barely any money.
No, you're right.
You got to put in more work in that. So if, you know, I think your math might have been off on the starter company one in the terms of the number of hours, but you probably could at least put 100 hours into that program or more. If you spend 100 hours on your sales funnel, you would make way more than $5,000.
Oh, yes.
So like the opportunity cost is just massive for some of these programs. Again, I think they solve a need to a certain group. And I don't want to spend too much time on those because I almost don't consider them grant programs. They're almost sort of subsidized education.
For sure.
There's a bit of a cash incentive just to get people to do it. And that's really the focus of those. My professional background, no one would pay me money or I wouldn't take it to get someone $5,000. It's too small of an amount to really put in a lot of effort towards it. I focused on sort of $10,000 to $100,000 was the sweet spot. A couple in the sort of $250,000 range. And there's still a lot of myths on those because you would get so many leads and people talking about, oh, this other business, they got $1 million to do whatever. And the truth is it's not just free money. Some of it is free money and you do get to keep that money. And it's an incentive for those businesses to take some risk. It offsets the full cost of some of these projects. But there's always strings attached. So they're always trying to fund a very specific type of project, a very specific type of industry. They never give you 100% of the project. So that's a big myth too. People are like, oh, they got $1 million for this project. And you might have read that it was $1 million project, but they might have got $100,000 towards it.
Oh, sure.
And then they might only get that cash if it's successful. Or, you know, some programs are tied to your employment. So you need to create net new jobs, which they measure over a period of time. So if you submit your payroll records and you haven't created those jobs, you don't get that money. Or it's prorated to how many jobs you actually created. So there's lots of sort of nuances like that that, you know, make it not just free money. And it's definitely not something you should do because you think you're going to get some free money out of it. Like, you have to match and put in a significant investment yourself for your business.
Yeah. I had, I know I've told you this story before personally, where I hadn't spoken to this guy who I knew was cheap going into it. And I had priced out marketing for him like years ago and didn't hear anything back from him and left it. And then he popped up, I think going into this year. No, it was a long time ago. It was even like a year ago, I guess. And out of nowhere, he starts the email with the typical, oh, like, hey, I've been thinking about marketing. I would love to work with you on marketing and all that stuff. But before we get to that, I've heard that there's a lot of grants out there for marketing. And he kind of left it as in he wanted me to go find those for him and then probably do all the work and then probably maybe be the one that gets that grant money when it's all said and done. And I was like, yeah, man, there's grants out there. Good luck. That's not my responsibility to go find them for you.
And I think locally we have had that a little bit where in the past there was some programs that allowed for more marketing. And we had, you know, a full-time grant company that was hustling to try to connect people to that. They worked with marketers. But those are gone now, right? The programs have changed. They will monitor it and then close loopholes if they think, hey, we, you know, we gave all these companies money for marketing and they didn't use it properly, or what they did didn't work. So they're not going to put more money towards that. In general, there's rarely grants for sort of general marketing. So there's, and when you get into the nuances of what's an approved expense and what's not, you know, you're really more likely to get the money if you already have marketing in place and you're looking to fund sort of a specific project. So maybe it's a campaign to grow into a new market. So those do exist where you might say, I'm exporting to the US now, and now I want to export to Japan. And in order to export to Japan, I need a marketing campaign to distributors in Japan. And that's going to cost me $40,000. You know, there's a program that might cost share, you know, 20,000 of that with you. And then they monitor the results from that. So those types of things exist. But if you're like a retail store in downtown Bob Cajun or something, you're probably not getting a blank check to start up. You're doing your own marketing. And if you do, it might be through a program, you know, where you're doing a bunch of learning and then you get maybe a few thousand dollars to do something from that.
Yeah. To your point, I didn't really want to go down this path, but the $2,500 for the Digital Main Street is, it's all helpful. It's another dollar. It's $2,500. Yeah. However, in the grand scheme of things, it's not incredibly helpful. If you hired someone internally, are you going to pay them more than $2,500 to do the marketing for the month? That's a conversation I'm sure we're probably going to laugh at, but I sure hope you are. Externally, how far are you going to get with $2,500 from a marketing perspective? It depends. It honestly could be a month. It could be two. If it's any more than two, I would very seriously question the quality of the work that is being done. And again, yeah, and not more of a conversation, but about other stuff. But it's I don't want to say pennies, but it's not a whole lot.
Yeah, it is an incentive to start something and try something, and it offsets the risk of like figuring some stuff out. So again, it's not bad, but it's not the bucket load of free money for marketing that people think it is. And I think that's kind of one of the main points, is like being strategic and understanding those nuances about grants. Because I do think every business needs to have a grant strategy. And you need to understand what is available for your type of business. And then decide if that actually helps your business or not. So if you are making $200 an hour and then you have to go spend 100 hours to get $5,000, it's not helpful for your business.
Right.
Go ahead.
Not to make this all about marketing again, or the business of marketing. I've worked with a couple people that have worked with me strictly when they've got grant money. So they don't do any marketing and then they get grant money. And we either rip through it really quick or we go on for a long time. Starting Point's first ever account was because of grant money, that someone gave someone grant money and we spent it over the course of a few months and then they were gone. And it's a lot of starts and stops with grant money people, meaning, okay, I've got this money, I got to spend it on marketing. And not that they don't know any better, but they throw it out there, usually on social media type of stuff. And then when the money's gone, it's gone and they stop. Yeah. And I'm sure there's conversation behind the scenes afterwards where they're like, well, marketing doesn't work because I did social for 2 months when I had all this grant money. And you know what? Now, 6 months later, it didn't do anything. So I'm always really weary. I'm happy to take people's money, especially grant money for sure. But I'm always weary. I tell people, like the contractors that I work with, that this is grant money. They're not going to be here after X amount of months. I can almost promise you. Don't expect a long-term commitment from these people.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem with small dollars, and also ones where it covers basically 100% of the eligible expense. So it is like getting something for free. When we look at the larger programs where, you know, say you're getting, you know, I've done dozens of grants where they would get, say, $100,000 towards a piece of equipment that was worth over $300,000. That requires a business plan for that piece of equipment. It requires you to like pay back $200,000. The other thing is most of these are reimbursed. So you have to come up with $300,000
to
buy the piece of equipment, then pay off, $100,000. What you see there then is if you have to borrow that from a bank, you're putting together a business plan. You know that it's going to work. It's going to help you grow your business. And then when you get that $100,000 back, that just boosts your cash flow to be able to do some of the other things that you need to be successful. And if we want to, again, link everything to marketing, the biggest thing is usually marketing for that. So the coolest thing about the bigger programs is when you're getting larger grants, usually the cash is used or it helps offset that risk of doing more marketing, getting into more places so that you can grow your business and sell more.
Right. Interesting. What are some of the biggest myths that you've heard then? I'm sure you have like a rundown there.
Yeah, I think one of the big ones is, and it's sort of related to this, is that it, you know, it saves businesses. So I kind of have worked hard to not be known as the grant guy, even though I still am, partly because of the myths, because, I'll explain, hey, I work with food and beverage manufacturers to get grants for equipment that helps them grow into international markets. That seems pretty straightforward. But then someone will say, well, I know this guy who has this great idea and he has no money. He could really use some grants. These people are really struggling. They need some grant money to help get them through. And that's never what it's for. It's not to save a business. It's not really to start or fuel someone's idea. It really is like adding fuel to a fire is how I talk about it. So like you have a good business, but you don't have unlimited resources. And this boost, you know, from the government is going to help you. And the reason the government does it is because it has spin-off effects. If I look back, you know, it's about, say, 9 years ago when I really got into grants, I did a lot in the Prince Edward County winery region, did a lot in craft beer. If you look at craft beer as an example over the last 10 years, you couldn't buy brewery equipment in Ontario that was made in Ontario. Small towns didn't have breweries. Now you can buy that equipment here. You can source your ingredients more in Ontario. You can go visit a brewery in Ontario. So when the government says puts, say $1 million into 10 breweries to like offset the cost of new equipment, they've taken that. They've got more efficient with their equipment. Quality's gone up. The volumes they can produce has gone up. They've been able to reinvest some of those in marketing and growth. And now we have a whole industry that's created a bunch of jobs and tourism, right? Now, 10 years ago, no one's getting in their car and driving around on a small town tour. Now they're like, hey, I want to go see all these breweries. So they're going to go do that. You get revitalized downtowns because of that. It creates something for people to go see. So the industry benefits are huge. And that's really ultimately why the grant programs exist.
Yeah. Just to take your craft beer example, I grew up in Durham in Whitby, lived there for like 25 years. I don't know how many breweries were there 15 years ago, 20 years ago. I can think of maybe one or two.
There might have been like a brew pub. There was the rules were so strange that, yeah, going back 15 or 20 years, there'd be the odd brew pub, but we didn't have full on breweries really.
Yeah, and now there's at least 10 that I can think of. And I haven't been really in Durham a lot the last 4 or 5 years. It's wild what's happened. I think it's amazing. And I feel somewhat blessed to be speaking to who maybe is the godfather of craft beer in Ontario. And I didn't realize you had such influence over the market.
Well, thank you. That's funny. What's actually cool is there was a 5-year period where I had my sort of hands in the kettle of probably 40% of all the grant money that went to craft breweries in Ontario, which is kind of a neat thing that I didn't realize until I was looking through a Freedom of Information request to see where all the, you know, what all people got money from these programs. But it does show, to me, it's a great story of those government interventions and incentives working, because they didn't throw out money, huge amounts of money to everyone, and they didn't pay 100% of those costs, but they made it slightly less hard so that these people who were working hard, they were taking risk anyway, had a better chance at some success. And they created a whole industry, which is, I think, just cool. Like, if I look at the equipment, I have a friend of mine from public school who, like, messaged me one weekend because he was starting a project for a brewery near where I live. And he's like, hey, you live near here, right? And it was the work order for all their equipment. And I thought that was cool. He was, like, the boss of making beer equipment. And it was a company that didn't exist a few years before that. And now he's like a specialist in doing that. So, like, that's manufacturing jobs, you know, then you can go from not having any of that equipment made to it being maybe really good in the world and being exported. Like, it just creates all of these industries. It creates a market for steel and stuff like that. Like, it just it the spin-off effect is massive.
Trickle down economics.
Yeah, sort of. Except not really. But it's true, it's the network effect of these things, and that's why the programs exist. And that's why it's important to understand for your grant strategy where you fit into that. Like, I think there's some people who think, oh, it's a grant, it's for whatever I want, and it's just to help me. But it's never to help you. It's always to help. Maybe it's a region or an industry, or typically region or industry is really where it is. And it's about the government being able to, you know, fuel the fire a little bit. So it's not about saving your business. It's not about giving you free money. It's not about buying some votes for the election. Because most of these programs, they take months. Everyone running them are nonpartisan anyway. They might make a bit more of a flash about it during election time, or they'll reannounce some funding that's already gone out. That happens too, which I find entertaining. You'll see an MP going out and doing all these funding announcements for projects that have already happened. Just to try to get the PR from it, which again is their prerogative. But it is about fueling, you know, and incentivizing those activities.
Yeah, like, I get why the government wants it, but I think people have to understand and realize it's not just a cash grab for them. There's going to be a ton of time involved in it. Like, similar to applying for a loan in a bank. Like, you can't just go to the bank and be like, hey, I want like 100K for this new project. They're not going to give it to you. You need to put the legwork in and business plan or whatever else they ask for. And it's going to be a lot of time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that it's the time. I think it also, it's the strategic alignment with your business as well. Are you a good horse to back, basically? My other myth sort of that ties into this is there's a myth that it's all about the buzzwords you use. That's kind of true, but it's mostly not. Like, you could put all the buzzwords in it, but the people who are analyzing that are just going to cut right through that, and they're going to try to find out, is this business going to make me proud that we gave them money and turn out well? So they, you know, again, they're looking for people who are growing. You probably already want to have some marketing in play, and you're trying to grow. Like, just doing the good fundamentals of building a business, and then you're going to attract grants. So it's never to like band-aid someone or come up with a, you know, something that's going to fix that business. It's all about making it grow even more.
Yeah, grow, hire people, pay more taxes. That's what the government wants. They want you to hire more people and pay more taxes.
Yeah, when it comes down to it, it usually is all about jobs.
Yeah.
So again, the myths are typically, again, what it's for. Sometimes it will be about something else. But if you look at the news press release, it's always going to be about number of jobs saved or number of jobs growing or created from that. So it really comes down to the good things are going to create more jobs and grow. It's not going to be about, hey, we gave this company money and then they took it and downsized and fired 10 people. Like, they're not getting, they're not going to get that, right? It's usually about we're creating jobs.
Yeah, it's interesting. I never would have thought that that was something that came up where people want to give a struggling business grant money, which it makes no sense. Like, yeah, why would you want that? Oh, we gave them money and they pissed it all away again. And now what? Yeah. So,
and that does happen. And I think another buzzword, or these myths come from a time, I think before the internet, before grant consultants, the government wasn't good at, and they're still not good at marketing these programs.
Sure.
So they don't have quality competition. And then there's sometimes is pressure to like, just get it, the money moved and like see what happens. But I would say we're at least 5 years past that, where now most programs have high quality competition and you're competing with good projects. So most of the money is going to work. Every now and then something's going to get through. It won't be a good project. It won't work, but that's also why they're there. They help offset the risk of failure a little bit. So, but you know, for the most part, it's good businesses who are investing. They're offsetting that investment. They're going to grow, create spin-off benefits that are clear and they can communicate them. It's not, hey, maybe if you give me a bunch of money, my business will grow a lot and I'll create lots of jobs. Like, you need a plan to show how that's going to work that people believe. And it's going to align with what they want. And the buzzwords, you know, kind of matter, but it really depends on where the money's going. You can't just throw random buzzwords in there and expect that they're going to be like, oh, that person said innovation and green economy, so let's give them some money.
Green economy.
That was one of my frustrations, was people would always try to talk about how their thing was environmentally friendly. And for some programs, maybe that was the case. But if you were, you know, say in a program that cared about skill development of employees, they didn't care about how environmentally friendly your projects were. It was about, this is a one to increase skill of employees, or this one is about increasing efficiency, or this one's about growing export markets. So your buzzwords have to at least align with the purpose of the program.
I don't know half the things you just said.
Awesome. And you probably don't need to. Awesome. We should pull that quote out for the old social media.
That's like probably a good theme for most of the podcast. Me saying, Brian, I don't know half the things you just said.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be the godfather of the craft beer industry in Ontario.
Yeah. That would be a pretty arrogant of me to post up there.
Well, that's you, though. Like, massive ego, right?
Massive ego. That is definitely me. All right. Do you have any other final thoughts aside from massive ego from the godfather?
No, I'm all good.
All right. Awesome. Well, if you want to talk more about grants, if you seriously want to find out how grants could work for your business, let us know. Check us out at kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca or send us an email to setitup@kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.